The reality for many of you is that investment properties where you live have become absolutely unaffordable. The good news is that there are many cities with affordable properties and many of those under 100K. If you're someone who's ready to buy your first out-of-state property in the next 4 months, then I encourage you to check out my free training that'll break down the process and show you exactly what it takes to invest out of state. I purchased properties out of state and it's changed my life. The same is possible for you. You simply need the right information. My free training will help you take that next step towards buying your first out-of-state property. You can watch the training right now at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode. Again, you can find it at outofstatemoney.com, or you can click the link in the description of this episode.
Excuse me, may I talk to you for a second?
Yes. This is the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and the purpose of the Black Real Estate Dialogue is to document the journey of an up-and-coming real estate investor and to share the stories of successful Black real estate investors.
If you're someone who lives in an area where it's so expensive to buy real estate and you feel like it's impossible, then I have something for you. I just released a free guide that's going to give you the 8 steps you need to take to buy your first out-of-state property. I've bought several properties out of state, living in California, investing in Ohio, and you can do the same. It's just a matter of having the right information. So click the link in the description of this episode to get your free guide today.
Welcome back to the Black Real Estate Dialogue, and today's closing day features Joseph Handy from episode 152. And in this clip, Joseph talks about the beginnings of his, at this time, $5 million real estate portfolio, 65 units. But he's so cool because Joseph, at the time, is a teacher and is going to be talking about how he has navigated through coming from such an incredible story and what he's done to build this massive portfolio. So let's talk about it. Episode 152 with Joseph Handy, the Black Real Estate Dialogue closing day feature. Let's get into it.
I think I saw it on your Instagram post where it said Mississippi has the lowest average teacher salary, and you've built up a portfolio of 65 plus doors worth over $5 million. And so the first thought that came to my mind is, how in the world did you do that? So tell us about how you got started.
Well, you want the detailed version or you want the short version?
We got time for detail.
Okay. All right. So, once again, I've been kind of in the music realm all my life. You know, I'm a band director, professional musician, and I've been playing trumpet for the past 35 years or so. You know what I'm saying? So, I was like deep into that and, all about, education and, being a good teacher and being a professional musician. But, there was always something in the back of my mind that, it just kept on urging me to do something different, and then I got a hold to the whole, generational wealth and, legacy building thing that, people are talking about these days. And, it just, all of that eventually just led me into real estate. So, with that being said, how I did it on a middle school teacher's salary. So when I first started, I kind of wanted to jump in, I guess you could say, with some training wheels on. So my very first deal, I did it with some partners. So me and two of my best friends, we got together, we pooled our money together, and we bought a duplex here in Jackson. We paid $85,000 for it. We had to put $15,000 down, so it was $5,000 a piece. And that was kind of my way of getting into it. I had, it helped to mitigate my risk because, I was putting a smaller chunk down. But then also I had some other people that I could lean on in case there was a problem or, if additional money was needed or whatever the case may be. And that first property went pretty well. We did a light rehab on it. And once I started managing the tenants and, seeing, the various processes involved with it, I was like, this ain't too bad. I can keep going. So once I did that first deal, I just really dove into content, you know, listening to podcasts and reading books and going to seminars and meetups in the area. And it led me to, I guess, doing a house hack. That was my next deal that I did. So bought a duplex using actually a, you know, since I'm a veteran, a VA renovation loan, where not only do they give you the purchase price, or funds for the purchase price, but they also give you additional funds to rehab the property. So, you know, VA loans are 0% down. So, you know, that's one of the ways where I have been able to expand quickly, because I've been able to tap into various resources to buy properties with, you know, very little cash out of pocket. So I did a house hack, you know, thank my beautiful wife for allowing me to do so, and downsizing, because we were in, you know, a pretty nice size house, 3-bedroom, 2-bath house. And we downsized to a 2-bedroom, 1.5, you know, duplex. It was 2 1.5 on both sides. You know, I explained the vision to her. She bought into it, and, you know, she let me do my thing. So we actually house hacked 2 more times after that. And, you know, along the way, you know, we did the house hacking thing, owner financing, buying properties and package deals, some subject to deals, where I was able to put, in some cases, nothing down, you know, pretty much, you know, paying a seller like $500 just to take over the mortgage. And, you know, so, you know, long story short, that's pretty much how I was able to scale so quickly. Because a lot of the deals were done creatively. I didn't have to put a whole lot of money down, and I was able to, you know, take control of these properties.
Love it. Love it. A whole lot I definitely want to dive into. The first thing is, on your first deal, you mentioned that you had partners. Now, right. For a lot of, there are two sides to that. I think it can be great for someone who, to your point, wants to limit their risk and, as you mentioned, get some training wheels. Was it difficult for you to be open to partnership? Was your initial thought, you know what, I want to do it by myself? Or was it a little bit easier for you to be open to partnering on your first deal?
For the first deal, I mean, I had not done any deals. I had no experience at all. So, you know, it was just, I just felt like it was just a good way to get started, you know, and I hear a lot of people talking about how, you know, partnerships go sour, and, you know, saying the business partners are difficult to deal with. But, you know, these are like 3 guys that I had known for over 20 something years. You know, we are very, very, very close. You know, these are guys are brothers to me. Shout out to Johnny Fleming, Sherman Green. You know, y'all are the best. but anyway, yeah, I mean, I felt very comfortable with them because they were my best friends. You know, we played in the band together, you know, in high school. You know, but they also are very entrepreneurial minded type people. So we were very, you know, we were thinking on the same wavelength. So I felt very comfortable jumping in with them because, you know, they my guys. And then also, you know, all of the other reasons I said, you know, it's just some other people that I could lean on in case, you know, we got into this thing and I felt like overwhelmed. But, you know, luckily that wasn't the case. And we work very well together.
Love it. Love it. So a couple of things I want to dive into. You mentioned the VA loan. We've had a couple of people talk about that, but I don't believe we've had anyone talk about the VA renovation loan. So can you explain how that works and just some of the advantages of that program?
So it's kind of like that FHA, you know, the 203K loan, where, you know, they give you the purchase price plus additional money to fund the rehab. So it's almost exactly the same. You know, you have to, the paperwork is very similar. You know, you have to get a contract to bid, and they have to have a license, and, you know, they have to provide a itemized list of things that's being done in the property. So if you can handle jumping through all of the hoops to get that, all of the paperwork done, and, you know, the bank, it seemed like, man, you turn in one piece of paper and they want something else. You turn that in and then they want something else. But if you can stomach through all of that, it is a great product to use. So kind of going back to my whole military thing, because actually one of the guys in my unit is a contractor. Mm-hmm. He's a roofing contractor, but they also do like a little bit of like remodeling and stuff. So I was able to get him on board with me as far as, you know, preparing that scope of work and preparing the paperwork and them kind of working with me through that process, because it can be kind of, you know, long and tedious. But, you know, he made it happen, and the property turned out very well.
Love it. Love it. And one thing I want to talk about is financing. So mm-hmm. one of the questions I had early on, and as I'm, you know, preparing for the interview, is how in the world did this guy finance, and what did he do to scale up mm-hmm. so quickly over 5 years to over 60 units? You mentioned subject to, you also mentioned seller financing. So can you explain what those are and just, you know, how those things have helped you to scale as well? Because, you know, a lot of people, they look at their salary, right? Whatever their career is, maybe they make below average for someone in their city like yourself. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I really want this episode to almost be a class for those people who maybe you feel like you don't make a lot of money, but we're looking at you right now. You can still invest in real estate. You can still scale your portfolio. It just takes some creativity.
I mean, absolutely. So because I don't make a lot of money on my day job, you know, I had to figure out alternative ways. You know, I'm not some guy who had this big six-figure job making, you know, $200,000-$400,000, and you know, they got a lot of disposable income. I just didn't have that. But what I did have, and you know, I guess you can call him my real estate mentor, guy here locally named Randy. He said, man, the biggest and the best asset that you have is your mind. So you cultivate your mind, you know, you educate yourself on how you can do certain things, and, you know, sky's the limit. And, you know, I really took that to heart.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Black Real Estate Dialogue podcast. Remember to follow us on Instagram at Black Real Estate Dialogue, and be sure to leave us 5 stars and a review on your favorite podcast listening platform. Until next time.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.